Well, just in a few minutes, I want to say a few things on 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. You don't need to look it up. I didn't need to put the Bible there. But you can look it up, but I mean, you will know it. But I didn't want you to think I was speaking without looking at the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Very, very briefly, we've only got a few minutes. Paul is under attack here. He's under attack by the Corinthians, really, the believers in Corinth, the church there. He has come among them, and clearly he has not, in their estimation, fitted the bill. He's full of apology. I don't mean saying sorry here. He's in a defensive mood. He's in an argumentative mood. He's in a polemical mood. He's fighting out his corner. And he's under pressure, you can see, as he says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." And then this verse, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's evident from the context that the pressure they were putting on him there at Corinth was this: that when you come among us, Paul, you must remember that we are a Greek city. We have the Greeks all around us, and we know that they're famous for their wisdom and their philosophy and their academic learning, you see. And you must bear this in mind, Paul. What you also must bear in mind, of course, is that we have a big Jewish community here. And these communities are very vocal. They have their demands. They are making their claims. They have their boasts. Wisdom, philosophy, and their tradition, the law, and all the rest of it. And what the Corinthians have been saying to him, it's quite clear if you read the context, is that Paul should trim his sails to fit this culture. He should come among them and bear these people in mind and just not...
Thank you.
Sorry, James. That's all right, ma'am. Well, welcome. Just take your time. Do you want to sit in an easy...
John, should yes. Let you debut
no.
Her seat here. John and Donna.
I know who they are, but I don't know them here.
John and Donna.
Yeah. Well, you're very welcome, I'm sure. I'm just saying a few words. We just have a few words for a few minutes on the scripture. And I'm just saying a few words on 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. I think I reached a place where I was saying that Paul was under this pressure to accommodate himself and what he said to the people around him. And he shows here very clearly, if you read the context in the previous chapter and into this second chapter and on into the third chapter, he was having nothing of the sort. In fact, he confronts the culture. In the first chapter, he says, "Well, look, I've looked at the Greeks' wisdom, and in fact, it's foolishness," he said. "And I've looked at these Jewish claims," and he said, "I know they say we're scandalous in what we preach, but they can say what they like." And this is where he says this, you see. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was putting his finger on the sore spot for the Jew and for the Greek. For the Jew, it was a scandal to have a crucified Messiah. Scandalous. For the Greeks, it was utter foolishness that the death of a Savior could redeem his people. And the Corinthians want him to adjust, not to get their backs up. But it's quite the opposite with the man. He takes, if you like, the fight, the spiritual fight, to his hearers. And he says, "I'm determined." Now, some versions have got, "I decided," or whatever. But I think "determined" is by far the better translation here, because the whole context is that whatever pressure is put upon me, it is my lasting resolution that I will never accommodate, I will never compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ, and particularly the cross of Christ. I know this is the offensive thing, he says, but it is the blood and righteousness, the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus that he majors on. Now, I haven't got time. I mean, obviously, this merits a lot of discussion, a lot of argument. But I want to just draw some application out of that. Why should he make this the central thing? Well, the answer is clear. This man really does believe in eternal judgment. This man believes that sinners need salvation. And he knows that wisdom of the Greeks and the Jewish system will not save. He knows that it is only Christ and his precious blood that can wash away sinners' sins. And his righteousness alone can make them right with God. And for his love for sinners, for his love for the men and women around him who are perishing, love for these Greeks, love for these Jews, he knows he must preach the cross. He must preach Christ and him crucified. But you remember, he's writing this to believers, and if you look at the context again, the verses before, he has said this, in effect, as he says to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 11, Christ is all. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our sanctification. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is all. This is what he's saying. And the center of that is the death of Christ. The resurrection is vital, of course, in the life too, but it must be the blood and righteousness of Christ. And therefore, this is his determination. It's not the only place he says it. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. And so on. Over and over again he says these things. And his letters are full of the gospel. Now, of course, some people, I'll just say one more thing. Some people think that the gospel is just for unbelievers. But, you see, he's writing to believers. He's coming to a church to preach here in Corinth. And he will preach the gospel to believer and unbeliever, because he knows nothing will be saving but the cross of Christ, and he knows nothing edifies the believer, nothing sanctifies the believer better than the preaching of Christ and him crucified. And I think for us, we should bear this in mind today. I think we're under pressure. I'm convinced that we should bear this in mind and act on it. We're under pressure to compromise the cross. I find quite a lot of preaching today dumbs down the gospel, and we don't get the harsh words of sin and repentance like we should get. But these are vital words, and the cross above all. I think we should bear this in our mind, in our prayers and so on. And I'll speak for myself. Whatever I need in the Christian life, the answer is always found in Christ and his cross. Never further than his cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's my glory ever. So it's saving for unbelievers, sinners, but it's sanctifying for the saints too. So I would encourage us all to have Paul's determination, that's what I'm saying. I am determined, he said, to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Much more I could say, but we'll have to leave it there.